And now this morning, the third candle, I'd like to talk about the mission of the Messiah. See, he came for a reason. It's a very specific purpose that he came to fulfill. And Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 12, are going to be the text that we're zeroing in on. But I'd actually like to start in a different text this morning. I want to go even farther back than the prophet Isaiah, way hundreds and hundreds of years back to a guy named Abraham. Now, Abraham was called by God to leave his home country, his homeland, everything that was familiar to him, to leave that and go to a place that God was going to show him. So he said, all right, we'll go. I'll leave. And up he went. He took his family with him, and he left. He didn't know where he was going. He just got in the car and started rolling. Okay? Now, amazing, in the midst of this, God is saying, and in a variety of different interactions, God establishes a covenant with Abraham. And he says, look, I want to bless you, and I want to make your descendants as numerous as the sand on the shore and the stars in the sky. And through you, all people on earth will be blessed. Okay? Abraham is 75 years old when he first hears these words. Okay? God comes to him and he makes this covenant and he calls him out. He says, you're going to be a people set apart for me and I'm going to make of you a great nation. 75-year-old man. And so Abraham says, that sounds great, Lord. I'll follow you. I'll obey. Let's go. Abraham is married. His wife is named Sarah. Now they're up in years, 75 at this point. His wife is not far behind. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. 25 years pass before God gives them, Abraham and Sarah, a son. So, you talk about anticipation, the season of Advent. Abraham knew this more than any of us. This idea that he was waiting for the promised son, waiting and waiting. Maybe today, Sarah will give me the good news. Hey, guess what? Pregnant. No. Year after year passed. Sarah, anything? Any response? Nothing. Are you sure you heard him right? Did he really say that our descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the shore and the stars in the sky? Because I don't know about you, Abraham, but we don't have any. And even got to the point where she suggested that Abraham take her maidservant, Hagar, and have a child. And he disobeyed the Lord and did that, and it caused a whole bunch of problems. God said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Wait for me. There is a child of the promise who will come. And God, at 100 years old, gave Abraham the son of the promise. His name was Isaac, firstborn son, only son. And Abraham loved that boy like crazy. Isaac, son of the promise. Okay? Now, we're going to be spending some time this morning in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to read the story quickly and then walk back through it. You can see in your notes, there's plenty of space for you to fill in some points this morning. So let me just read through our text this morning, and then we'll walk back through it more up close. Genesis chapter 22 on page 16 of your blue Bible if you have one. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they both of them went together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they both went together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built there an altar and laid the wood on the in order and bound his son and laid him on the altar atop of the wood. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called and said to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here, he said, here I am. The angel said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Okay, so that is our text, Abraham and Isaac. And at the first reading of that, it's a little concerning. There's some questions that I have, lots of questions. What in the world is going on here? And in order to tell this story, I've asked my son, Ethan Judah Pickens, to come and be my helper up on stage. All right, there's my boy. Okay, now Ethan, what I'd like you to do, buddy, is see this pile of wood right here? I need you to start building an altar for me, okay? So just grab some pieces, grab a few pieces, and follow me, and you can just start building this thing with me. Come on over here. Yep, there you go. And we'll just start building an altar right here. Okay, so just put it down on the ground like that. Good. Now you just keep working on that wood pile. And if you need any help, just let me know. Okay, good. Don't get slivers. There you go. Okay, that's my boy. Right there. Okay. So I want to walk in to this a little more closely as Ethan builds this altar. After these things, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham. Okay? We know that. He didn't. He did not know that. It was almost like if we could have here the emergency broadcast system noise, that really annoying sound that they always do. This is a test. This is only a test. It rings in my mind. There was no emergency broadcast system going on for Abraham. God didn't say, hey, guess what, dude? I'm going to test you. So just go along with this thing. And then it's going to be okay. He showed up to Abraham and he said, look, I want you to take your son, your only son. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Whom you love. I want you to take your son, your only son. Now, Isaac is the son of the promise, okay? Isaac is his only son. Ethan here is my only son, aren't you? And I happen to love this kid with all my heart. I love him. He makes me happy. I find delight in my son. And I'm proud of that kid. Look how hard he's working here. They're building like crazy. Good work, dude. Okay. So Abraham is scratching his head. And he's like, wait a second. Take Isaac? And what? Do what? You know, you've got to imagine the weight. Imagine if I would have heard these words. There is no other son to fill his place, Lord. You know that. Take your son, your only son. You've only given me one in 25 years. As long as we see, you got your math going right here. The only one? Okay. Okay. I want you to take him to the land of Moriah, verse 2. Take him to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. What? Are you kidding me? My only son? Offer him there? Imagine the bomb that would have been going off in his mind. Oh, maybe I heard this wrong. What did he say? I thought I heard this before, that through my son there would be descendants as numerous as the sand on the shore and stars in the sky. What does this mean? What is this? How does he respond? He gets up early and he goes. He gets up early He leaves the next morning early. Now, I'm wondering myself, okay, good work, buddy. You're doing good. I'm wondering myself, maybe he got up early so he wouldn't have to tell this to his wife. How can you imagine this conversation? Honey, I've got to go on a trip. I'm taking Isaac, and I'm going to do an offering as a burnt offering. You know, I don't know. Maybe he told her. Maybe he didn't. We don't know. What we do know is that he was obedient, and he left early. He got up in the morning, either to get a head start or to avoid having to tell Sarah. I don't know. But it said he left early in obedience. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men, his servants, and his son Isaac. Saddled his donkey. Abraham is an old guy at this point. He is not a young strapping buck. And so he takes along with him two servants, and he takes his son Isaac. They journey for 3 days, it says in verse 4. Notice this. 3 days. 3 days is a long time. Period of time that would communicate there's enough time for him to change his mind about what he's doing. You don't just light out early and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then a day goes by, and you're thinking the whole way, am I really going to have to do this? What is God saying? What's he doing? What are you trying to tell me, Lord? And Isaac on the journey, all the interaction, all the memories they'd made, the fun they'd had, all of the snapshots of life together would have been playing through his mind. 3 days they traveled to get to the place that God had decreed they would go. Now, I want to show you, this is fascinating. Fascinating. Abraham lived right down here in Beersheba. It took 3 days to get up to Mount Moriah, which happens to be Jerusalem. Didn't exist yet. Happens to be the place Jerusalem would be built. And God says, I'm picking a place, I have it in my mind, and I'm telling you, I want you to go do this there. Abraham could have said, well, I'd rather just do it right out back here. I mean, why are we traveling to this place? But he knows when God says, get up and go, I got a place for you, he knows he's serious. So he saddles his donkeys and he goes to the land of Mount Moriah. Now, we know this, most scholars agree. Even in 2 Chronicles, it says, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. So there's places all over the scripture that point that Mount Moriah is Jerusalem. Okay, interesting. Verse 5. Then Abraham said, good job, buddy. You're doing great. You getting tired at all? Huh? Oh, that's what I thought. You're doing great. Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over and worship and come again to you. In the NASB, it says, and we will come again to you. This displays great faith. Abraham is saying to the servants, look, you guys stay here, keep the donkey here. We're going to go over there, and we're coming back. One way or another, however this goes, I believe we're going to return from the worship up on the mountain. It says even in Hebrews that Abraham at this point had faith to the level that even if he did sacrifice his son, the Lord would bring him back from the dead, because he would fulfill the promise he had made that would come through his son, his one and only son, whom Abraham loved. All right, good work. That's okay. Yeah, let it kind of tip over there. That's good. So verse 6, Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering. He took the wood from the burnt offering, and he did what with it? He laid it on his son, Isaac. Now, there's some things at work here. First of all, Abraham is probably around 120 to 125 years old. Okay, we tend to think of Isaac as a young boy. He was a young man. Most likely, he was in his mid-20s. Isaac was no spring chick. He was a strapping young man. And so, if anyone was going to carry the wood up the hill, it was Isaac. Certainly not Abraham at his age. So, he took the wood and he said, Isaac, I want you to come here. And he said, I want you to carry this wood. And they probably would have had some ties and it bundled on his back. And he would have literally been carrying this wood up the mountain all the way to the top where the Lord had appointed that this sacrifice would be offered. Why the detail there? You see that? Interesting. Laid it on his son. He took in his hand, Abraham took the fire, a coal to start the fire with, the burnt offering, and the knife. That would be the knife that would kill his son or the animal, whatever the sacrifice would be. He was ready to go. Obedience to the Lord. Verse 7, imagine being Isaac. He knows how this works. He's putting the equation together. Okay, we got the coal, Dad, good. Don't forget that. You're getting up in years. Don't want you to forget anything here. You got the knife, okay. I got the wood. Whoa, hey, Dad, wait a second. I see the fire, Dad, I see the wood, but where's the lamb? Maybe you forgot. I can't imagine you would. But there seems to be something missing from this equation, Dad. Where's the lamb? Who's this altar for? I think he knew. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb. God will provide, son. Just believe. Just have faith. He knows what he's doing. He's promised. You are the son of the promise. It's going to be okay. I don't know how this is going to go, but it's going to be okay. He's going to provide somehow. God will provide the lamb. When they came to the place God had told him, Abraham built there an altar. He laid the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac. Okay, let's think about how this works. Good job. That's a great altar, bud. You getting there? Whew. He took and he built an altar. The stones would have been the base. Abraham, the altar builder, he knew how to do this. And then he arranged the wood on top of the stones. And then he took and he bound his son Isaac, probably by the hands and the feet, and he laid him on the wood for the sacrifice. Now, this is an important detail to not miss. We would miss this if we just saw black on white and we were reading through. Remember, Isaac could whip Abraham. There's no question in my mind. Abraham is an old man. Isaac is a young man, strapping. He's hauling the wood up the hill. If he didn't want to be tied up, he'd have said, Dad, you're crazy. I'm out. You find a lamb. I'm certainly not the lamb. This is over. This little thing is over. The son submitted his will to the father. Very clearly, willingly saying, okay. And he let his hands get tied, and he let his feet get tied, and he willingly, I'm sure, kind of laid down on the altar. It's an amazing detail that we've got to see. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar atop the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, stop. Don't do it. Wait. Can you imagine the tension? I mean, this would be like that point of the movie where the music and the strings are in, and it's like, and the whole thing pauses, slow motion. You know, what? I don't have to do this? What is this? The angel of the Lord calls down from heaven, and he said this, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. It's a test. This was only a test. And with joy, he would have known that he passed. Now, child sacrifice was not uncommon in this day, but it certainly was not something the Lord was endorsing here. Abraham would have heard and known other religions and pagan cults that would have practiced these horrific things. But God wanted to say, there's something different here about me. I wanted you to walk through with detail all of this experience. I want you to know what it's like to set the son you love on the altar and willingly take his life. I want you to know what it feels like, Abraham. You have not withheld your son. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked behind him, and behold, there was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. He went and he took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. I don't know about you, but if you're Isaac, you know, you're thinking years of counseling to work this out. You know what I mean? You're just thinking, wait till I get home and get to the therapist for this one. Okay? Imagine the mark this would have left on Abraham and Isaac, a father and son. This experience ordained by God to the detail, and then he provides a ram caught in a thicket by the horns right behind. The ram took the son's place on the altar in the worship of the Lord. Abraham lifted up his eyes. I think the wording there is important. That's all right. Yeah, just kick it up there, buddy. Good job. Man, that's a big pile. You're building some muscles. You're going to need an extra big lunch, aren't you? All right. Good job. You know what? That's probably good enough. Thanks so much. Give me all. You're a great helper. All right. Why don't you go have a seat? Yeah. Good job. Okay, I'm going to try not to cry at this point. On the mountain of the Lord, it says in verse 14, it will be provided. So Abraham named that place as he looked at his son. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. To this day, it is said, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. What is it? Why future tense? Why wouldn't he have said something different? On the mountain of the Lord, it was provided. He gave the ram. Why? It shall be provided. On what mountain? Who will provide it? If you want to talk about the mission of the Messiah, in my mind, if you want to understand the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, I think you look no farther than Genesis 22. Look at a father and son. Look at the detail of the story that was given, and then read words like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Gave his only son. Guess what? God said, what you experienced, Abraham, what you experienced, Isaac, should rightfully be the case. Because of your sin, that first candle we spoke of, you deserve this from me. This is your altar. It should be for you. But because I love you, I'm putting my son on it. I'm going to send my son. Don't put a hand on that boy. Don't lay a hand on him. Come on, Isaac, it's okay. He's provided. He has provided. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and he said what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see it? You see the imagery? When John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb, the story that had been told and passed down from generation to generation to generation that was in the bones of those hearers, the Lamb, you see him? Well, he, Peter, was still talking A bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "The Father speaks of the Son. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. I want you to listen to him. My one and only Son. I love him. Look at him. Look at him obey. Look at him submit his will and come and humble himself and take the form of a man to walk with purpose straight to the cross. Do you see him? That's my boy," God says. "That's my boy. Look at him go." Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and he began praying, "Oh, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, but yet not my will, yours be done." A son's obedience, a son's submission to the Father's will. Just like Isaac said, "Okay, Dad, tie the ropes. I trust you know what's best. I'll obey." So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. Who carried the cross? Upon whose back did the Father set the wood? Christ. He took it and he hauled it up the hill. I believe very, very close, if not the place where the altar was built hundreds of years before, a city was there. There Jesus willingly paid my debt. This is my altar. And he took it. Same place. Unbelievable. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. He set upon Jesus Christ all the sin, all of my sin, all the sin of the world, set upon Jesus. And God allowed him to suffer his wrath and pay the price. What then shall we say as the call to worship heralded for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him, with Christ, graciously give us all things? He didn't withhold his son either. Only this time, it was the chosen son, the son of the promise, the long-awaited Messiah came with a purpose. And the purpose was to be born, to be killed, to be raised to life, to conquer sin and death and hell. Out of love. Out of love. Now, Isaiah 53, let these words ring with this in view. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Father to crush the Son. How? How could this be? Why would he will that? He's put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will make many to be accounted righteous. He'll bear their iniquities. This is Isaiah speaking of Christ. Hundreds of years before he lived on this earth. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors. Isaiah 53, it heralds the gospel to us. The mission of the Messiah was to come to take my place on an altar that was meant for me. Gift of a son, an only son. Display of grace upon grace. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. It is finished. And so I suggest we close with this. On the mountain of the Lord, it has been provided. Now, past tense, what was waited for all of these years has been provided in Christ. It has been provided. The gift of a son of the promise. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the gospel. It is the good news that you have, in the face of our sin and our right deserving of your wrath, you have dealt with us in grace and mercy by sending your one and only Son to take upon himself the punishment, the wrath that we deserve. There is no more important message in all of history than that. So many lived upon this earth and wondered and waited and watched, anticipated, oh, when will the Messiah come? When will we be set free? And now we, with joy, have the opportunity to see in Christ the fulfillment of all of their anticipation. We look back to the cross and we say, how can this be? God would send his one and only Son to take my place on my altar, to pay for my sin, my wrath, my hell, so that I might be restored to God my Father. Thank you for this truth. It is truer than any other truth. You love us. You have not dealt with us according to what our sins deserve. You have given us hope in Christ alone. God, may we never celebrate the Christmas season without seeing the purpose of the baby born to die, born to live again. I thank you for Jesus, for his obedience. Oh Lord, teach us to be like him. Thank you for Abraham. I thank you for Isaac, his submission to you, his willingness to believe and to trust his father. You've given us such amazing examples to follow. Father, if there are some here this morning that have not received this gift, the free gift of life that is in Jesus Christ alone, I pray this morning that they would see the cross, see the gift Jesus has given them, hear the truth, the level of the soul, and that you would do your work to open blind eyes and to revive hearts of stone and make people live. Father, we know our sin. This world is not, it's not right. We have a bent towards the worship of me, ourselves. We give things more glory and worship than they're due. We make idols of worthless things when we were created, in fact, to worship you. Father, this morning we want to repent of that. We collectively here, we want to repent of the materialistic bent to make of Christmas something that it is not. The gift has already been given. The mountain of the Lord, it has been provided. We give you praise and glory this morning. We ascribe to you thanks for the gift of your one and only Son. We believe that he is the only hope of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.